This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. A big thank you to the Informer team and Richard for the news. Joining us tonight at Worldwide Wave panel, we have Damien.
Hello.
We've got Will.
Hello.
We've got Sarah.
Good evening.
And I'm Paul. In statistics, sample size is everything, apparently.
Size is everything?
I didn't write this. I'm just reading
it. Statistics.
And when you've done a survey about public attitudes towards people of different genders and sexualities, and you get 116,000 people from 77 countries responding, you probably got a voice of authority. Tonight, we're looking at this latest report.
How do you access people in countries where LGBTI people are persecuted?
What do people really think about respect for sexualities in those countries?
Against the backdrop of our marriage equality debate, do Australians really want to criminalise same-sex relationships?
Bringing us up to date on the latest data, tonight we're joined by Angus Carroll, co-author of the Ilgariwi Global Attitudes Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sex Minorities.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
Rhythm, hear the
We have the power. Well, Lorraine does anyway.
Well, I think we all do for having a little dance with that one.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Well, this evening we're talking about the ILGA and WeWe survey. Now, the survey reached 116,000 people online in 77 countries, and it even managed to reach highly hostile environments for LGBTI people, including Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Nigeria.
So this survey is actually quite important, and I think quite different, because it's employed the technology of the Rewe Corp to basically get an anonymous survey of random individuals right around the world. So it's not biased in any way.
No, it's just people who are willing to answer any questions online, not LGBTI people.
Yes, in fact, the report does not use the terminology LGBTI. It solely focuses on sexual and gender diversity.
Because it actually found that the term LGBTI was confusing to a lot of the respondents.
Well, yeah, it means different things to different people, and also you also have the risk of, even where it is understood, that it has negative connotations and is stigmatised.
Some of the facts that came out of this survey were really interesting. This is the second year it's been done, and 55% of the world they surveyed agreed that equal rights and protections should be applied to everyone, including people who are romantically or sexually attracted to people of the same sex.
And that went up to 73% when the cohort, or the people asked, actually knew someone that belonged to one of those communities.
And I think one of the other really interesting things that having the same-sex marriage debate here certainly highlights is that the majority of people feel they can respect their religion and their culture and be accepting of sexual and gender diversity, which,
over half. That's quite a telling statistic, because normally most statistics we hear are based on Western society, where we've got different norms, but this is kind of cutting across everything. So it's you dealing with all religions, all cultures, all traditions, and yet still with all of that, over half of the population is still saying, yeah, you know, religion's not really a problem. I can be me and still follow my religion.
Wasn't all positive though. Wherever there's I'm sorry, I always had to put the fly in the ointment. where the force of law is actually against the community, it's found that this was also represented in the attitudes of the respondents. So attitudes about equal rights, protections, neighbourhood socialisation were a lot lower in countries that had legal laws against the community.
And I think that speaks volumes. You know, it's not, the law's not there just as an enforcement mechanism, but it also shifts the cultural norms.
Yep.
And so if you've got a law that says this is okay or this is not okay, that carries weight, even if that law is never actually enforced.
And that shapes the attitude of the nation.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's one of the situation in Singapore. The law is there, but it's never acted on. Doesn't mean it doesn't actually influence the society, though.
This 116,000 unique responders were collected from 75 different states, including Hong Kong and Taiwan, and over 1,000 respondents in each of 15 African states, 23 from Asia, 15 from the Americas, 22 from Europe, and 2 states from Oceania. And in each country surveyed, a minimum of 1,000 respondents was achieved. And it was sent out in different languages, which is really important, and we'll hear from.
It was actually done really well. This isn't something that was cobbled together. From a technological point of view, they focused very heavily on making sure it was anonymous so that we didn't get a skewed result, and also made sure to accurately translate it into those languages. So they had specialists in their relative fields, in sexuality, in gender, and they made sure that the language was on point. It's a really well done job by ILGA and Rewe. Stay tuned to hear what they found.
Share your views with the world.
SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
It's one of the biggest surveys into attitudes towards LGBTI people around the world. Yet when you read through the second report on global attitudes released by ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, the most obvious change is the lack of the term LGBT. We asked co-author of the report, Angus Carroll, why the change in terminology.
Right, well, it's a really core issue. First of all, the change that we made is that we moved away from speaking about LGBT or LGBTI people in this report and in the questions that we asked. What we did to get across linguistic and cultural barriers across the globe, what we did is we spoke about, instead of speaking about lesbian, gay or bisexual, we spoke about romantic or sexual attraction. So that was the framing we used. So if you know somebody who is romantically or sexually attracted to somebody of the same sex, rather than the simpler, if you know somebody who's LGB. And we did this so that what we discovered is that LGBT, well, when I say what we discovered, what we discussed and we looked into very far is LGBT is a Western framing. It's an acronym of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. So the actual LGBT itself is a acronym of English language. Slip that into Urdu, slip that into Swahili, slip that into Arabic. That doesn't make any sense. It's just four noises, LGBT. So this is why we shipped away to get a better comprehension. And we definitely found that the comprehension in this survey by the respondents was excellent. So it's just more inclusive to move towards romantic and sexual attraction. Also, we use many translators. We use 39 translators from across the globe in the languages. And all of those translators were actually activists. So we tried to get away from stigmatizing languages. So instead of saying, often a translation company would, if you wrote LGB, they would translate that as homosexuality. So what we've got is a much more careful translation.
Yeah. It's a huge, huge sample again, 116,000 individuals, 77 countries. How do you go about accessing so many people?
Yeah, exactly. We do not use the traditional polling methods of focus groups or telephone polling. This is what we do not use. What we use is digital. I won't go too far down into the methodology, but basically what we do is we send our surveys to all digital devices that are out there. So from laptops to computers, etc., to phones. And what it does is that we target a country, let's say Saudi Arabia, or let's say Australia, let's say Ireland. We target that country and we target the cities and rural areas within that country. So basically, and we send a survey to digital devices. I won't try and go into the technology of that, but it's just a particular technology that this company, Riwi in Canada, developed over the last couple of years. And it's a really powerful way to reach very many people. For us, it's extremely powerful because it allows us to survey on attitudes in very hostile countries. So we can get into Egypt at the moment, Tanzania, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq. We can get into all sorts of places to ask these questions. It's anonymized, so there's no track for police who are tracking in the digital space. There's no tracking back to a person.
That was Angus Carroll from ILGA, the co-author of the ILGA WIWI Global Attitudes Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sex Minorities Report. Coming up, Angus shares the insights on how leaders are getting it wrong in countries less accepting of LGBT people. You're on World Wide Wave.
I am Bisi Alimi from Nigeria. For those who say homosexuality is a Western import to Africa, I am a proof that you can be proudly African and gay and fabulous. And I'm on World Wide Wave.
And tonight, we are talking to Angus Carroll from ILGA. And if you want to have your say or call in, tell us anything you think about these stories, it's 0427JOY949. And Angus Carroll has been explaining how this massive survey of 116,000 people across the world is undertaken. But we wondered how representative it is at the country level.
We got over, well, somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 fully valid responses from every country that we surveyed, all 77. So as you say, we got a huge cohort, and we are hoping to get more. I mean, as the years go by, we are going to continue the survey. Obviously, it's a funding issue to get, you know, it's expensive to do this work. But we plan to do, you know, the whole planet if we can, and get these attitudes, get the sense of what the attitudes are out there. I mean, we get public attitudes like this because we need evidence to support our anecdotal information. We need evidence which is quantifiable evidence. May I give you an example?
Sure.
At the United Nations, for example, just recently, the Vetit Mutabun, who's the new independent expert on SOGI, who's been appointed last year, very contentious appointment, to look at sexual and gender identity within the United Nations framework. When he's being replaced, his position is being replaced because he has to leave at the moment. And there was a big debate going on last week at the UN, and Egypt and Pakistan said that, you know, our sovereign rights, our religious and our cultural traditions do not allow for sexual orientation, gender identity. And, well, when we look at our survey, here's an example of the usage of the kind of data that we have. When we look at our survey, we find that in Egypt and in Pakistan, that around 40% of people are saying that they can respect their religion and be accepting of sexual and gender diversity. And about another 25 or 30% of people are saying that they don't know, they're not sure. They don't have an opinion, they're not giving an agree or disagree to that question. Can you respect your religion and be accepting of? And so this is really interesting to get this kind of data out of countries that are making, in the international fora and in the national space, who are making these claims that LGBT people are alien.
It makes it very hard for them to argue against, hard facts.
Well, yeah, my answer is give me the data. Show me what are you talking about there, Mr. Always, Egypt, Mr. Pakistan. What are you talking about? Show me the data. So, because here's our data from our public attitudes. So that's the kind of the power of the tool that we have and the findings that we can make.
Angus, the data that the mainstream media here in Australia really picked up on was the 1 in 6 criminalisation figure. So the question asked, for people who engage in romantic or sexual relationships with a person of the same sex, should they be charged as criminals? And 16% of Australians had some form of agreement. And I think that shocked a lot of people. Yeah. Is Australia an outlier in that?
Let me annoy you even more, because you have 10% of that. So there was a cohort in Australia who answered that question of 1,200 people, okay? 10% of them strongly agreed with the statement that we should be criminalized. 6% somewhat agreed, okay? That's your 16%. However, another 18% of people neither agreed nor disagreed in Australia. So how do you read that?
Well, it's in our current environment of a quite a vitriolic marriage equality debate, it's rather concerning. But I guess, are we different to comparable countries?
No, you're not. I mean, first of all, 16% is not high relatively across the globe. That's kind of pretty average. It's on the lower end of the average, actually. We find 17, 18% in the UK, or I think we find 12 or 13% in Ireland at the moment. I mean, it's not unusual. And when you think about why are people there, well, they're there because their own understandings of their own tradition and their own faith of inclusivity, a rejection of modern decadence. This is the very deep argument that happens internationally, that our equality is actually just a signifier of decadence and modernity and the breakdown of society and the breakdown of family, right? So those kind of conservative values. So you're going to have a cohort of people who just feel these kinds of things, that there is, you know, stigmatization inbuilt into certain traditional values and certain traditional attitudes. So when I think about the people who, if you look at the question is, it says you people should be, I'm now thinking about the 18% of people who answered don't know. And you look at the question and it says charged as criminals. I mean, as a respondent, I would look at that question, right? And I'd say, what do you mean charged as criminals? Do you mean like jailed for life? Do you mean a death penalty, as in some countries? Or do you mean a minor misdemeanor, you know, which has just got a fine attached to it? So what does charged as criminals mean? And that might be one reason why we've got 18% of people who say they don't know, because they do think that it's a misdemeanor, but it's not a crazy crime. I mean, this might be not a very useful comparison, but I'll just throw it out anyway. I mean, if you look at it worldwide, and if you look at Australia, you see that worldwide, that 29% of agreement, 29% of the overall cohort around the world are in agreement with the statement. That's like a third of people. And a further 23% of people answering they neither agree nor disagree. And only 49% of people, so around half of the people in the world, are outright disagreeing. I know in the context of what you're saying with the marriage debate going on at the moment, it's a really intense period in Australia, and the dislikes, the animus against us become clearer when you're in a debate like you're in Australia at the moment. And so one is looking at, but no, I don't think the figure of 16% is all that shocking. I think it's really depressing, but I don't think it's all that shocking.
Well, I think 16% is very shocking.
As did I. That was Angus Carroll, who co-authored this report with George Robotham, who is also the chair of Dublin's LGBT Centre.
Yeah, so that was a bit sobering. I mean, yeah, in the ILGA's work they've put out, they're kind of putting this forward as actually quite, there's a lot of positive aspects in the fact that in these countries which we think of as being very anti-LGBT rights or gender sexual equality rights, there's actually plenty of people who think it's fine. But then on the other side, it's quite horrifying to think that there's people in Australia who think it should be criminalised again.
It's almost like the way we perceive the world is the extreme. So the cultures that we think are really oppressive, we hammer them and we think, you know, no one would be putting their hand up. And then, well, this is, you know, speaking how my brain works. And then in Australia, you're thinking, sure, you know, everyone would be up for LGBTI rights in this country. But the report seems to sort of push those figures the other way. So in countries where you'd think they'd have more extreme kind of approach, they are in fact less extreme.
So should we be worried about tomorrow's result?
I don't think we should be worried, but once again, I think I'm certainly surprised with this debate that we've had and what it has drawn out and given people a license to be negative and to be hurtful. And yeah, I think some of the statistics do reflect that.
Although you did point out that 16 is actually quite low. I mean, it's 18% in the UK.
But the question was, you know, should this be criminalised? Should this behaviour be criminalised? It wasn't like, you know, do you like pink or blue? It was, you know, you're deciding whether someone who is of a different gender or sexual identifies differently either through gender or sexuality. Should they be criminalised, like made a criminal, put in jail?
Well, he did also point out there was 18% that didn't know, and that he assumed that was because the question wasn't that clear on what they meant by criminalisation. Was it a fine?
How
was it
clear?
Imprisonment?
Well, but really, can you go halfway on this thing? You either accept somebody or you don't accept them. You don't go, you know what, we're just going to fine you, but we're not going to jail you because it's not that bad, but it's bad enough that we're going to fine you. I mean, what kind of message would
disagreeing with someone and making something illegal or a criminal act to me is another level. So you accept somebody or you tolerate somebody or you're driving and your opinion is that hard against someone, you want to become a criminal act. To me, that is the severe end of the
situation. Oh, absolutely.
It could be. I think it could be. I like to look at the optimistic side of life quite often.
Hit me.
It could be things to do with when I was growing up in the UK, there was a lot of stories about what sex is legal or illegal. And I don't know if it was true at the time, but anal sex was illegal until you were older than heterosexual sex. And so there were all these other things about, like, what's illegal? Oh, you have to wait till you're 16. Here we have all these strange laws with how old you must be and your partner must be. They have to be within 2 years when you're 16 or something. Sorry, I was a bit confused. But maybe they're just conflating those ideas of age, of sexual stuff.
You know, I don't know. We don't...
I think I'm waffling. I don't think that's true at all.
Western culture just doesn't handle sexuality well, period. And that's not even talking about the spectrum. Like, we're not a positive
minorities
sex culture.
In Western culture don't handle it.
Well, no, I don't think heterosexual sexuality is handled well. I mean, look at it. It's all very aesthetic. It's you know, people don't openly talk about sex. If you're hearing about sex, it's because it's advertising, it's a headline,
it's salacious gossip.
Yeah, it's not a meaningful conversation about a certain part of, you know, being human, you know, like, we don't frame it that way.
It's difficult to actually sort of bring up those kind of conversations at work. How would you talk about sex with a colleague at work?
I don't even talk about it with my friends.
God, you should come to
me. Yeah, precisely. Well, that's where the issue comes in. We should be.
You should come to my work on
a whole other world.
Oh, yeah.
I think this report is great because it shows that across every country in the world, although the percentages are slightly different, there are people who agree with the fact that people can be any sexuality and that's fine. And it doesn't impinge on them at all. Every country in the world, the percentages change.
The global average was 49%. So, you know, that's one that surprised me. I think that's incredibly high when you look at all the different regions and countries that it cut across. That's sobering. You know, that's kind of good. Just, you know, not so crush hot about a 16% in Australia that think we should criminalise certain behaviours.
It seems like a small figure, but it's still hard to pallet, isn't it?
It's hard to pallet. It is. You're listening to The Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Who doesn't like a lunch date, exploring a gallery, bowling, or making new friends at some of Melbourne's best bars? For LGBTIQ plus people who experience mental health challenges, Paran Mission has the social group for you. OutMinds holds regular hangouts around Melbourne, creating an accepting, safe, and supportive environment for queer people experiencing mental health struggles. Come join us. Contact Sam on 0488 377 248 or head to the LGBTIQ plus page on the Paran Mission website for more. A community message supported by Joy.
Joy 94.9 would like to congratulate our presenters, Fiona, Bree, Rachel, Susanna and Rebecca, of our sports program, Chicks Talkin' Footy.
Woo!
They've just won the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's Award for Excellence in Sports Broadcasting for 2017. The team have been right behind the AFLW League from day one, and their passion and dedication is reflected in the program they present on a weekly basis. So from all of us, congratulations, team, for your winning performance in promoting women's sport in Australia and for the quality program you produce for Joy. Chicks Talking Footy returns in 2018. For now, you can visit their podcast via joy.org.au/chickstalkingfooty or subscribe via iTunes. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hi, this is Tamás from Heartfelt Society, fighting for the human rights of the LGBTQI community in Hungary on the World Wide Wave.
We are the fighters. coming up like killing machines. A big gun's gonna shatter your scene. It's pandemonium on the floor. Cause everybody wants a little more. They wanna ride on a rocket ship. Ride around the moon for a velvet kiss. Cause all the girls and the boys wanna know how far this battle isle child's gonna go. In the miserable fire, I'm a heat seeker and I'm full of desire. They're all drawn to the heat of the flame. Cause you wanna be a star in a hall of fame. I was born with glitter on my face. My baby clothes made of leather and lace. And all the girls in the club wanna know, where did all their pretty boys go? We are the surefire winners. Oh.
Listening to the winning Joy 94.9. Good on the chicks talking footy. And that was Adam Lambeth with Surefire Winner, which we're hoping will be good for tomorrow.
Now, you're listening to the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, where we've had a message in from one of our listeners, Matilda. Thank you so much for sending through your message, which says, "Sad that so many people can't move into the 21st century. LGBT people are in every culture. Get over it." Thank you so much. We here concur.
And that's such a good executive summary of the report.
That's it. That's the report in a nutshell. Get over it, people.
Well, it's not all doom and gloom in the latest report by ILGA into world attitudes about sexual and gender identity. So we asked Angus Carroll from ILGA about some of the good news.
Perhaps let's talk about some positive news then, because if I think back to Harvey Milk, he was very famous for telling gay people in the 70s that they have to come out, people have to know you. What is the impact of when somebody knows somebody who is from a sexual minority? How does that affect their attitudes?
It's a huge issue. And I mean, maybe this is the thing to say about the survey, is that this survey gives us the evidence for what we already know. So as exactly as you said there, that was Harvey Milk's calling cry, come out, come out, come out. And we would see in this survey that it's a very huge impact. when respondents know somebody that predicts a positive, a much more inclusive and much more positive outcome. So, for example, the question of whether equal rights and protection should be applied to everybody. And here we had separate sexual orientation and gender identity questions. So there's two questions on whether equal rights and protections should be applied to everyone. And we found that the respondents who know somebody, of the big group of people who know somebody around the world, 73% of them agree that those rights should be applied. Equal rights and protections, comprehensive non-discrimination, in other words, should be applied. While of those people who do not know somebody, only 44% of people agreed that the rights should be applied. So we see a huge drop of 29%, nearly 30%. Difference between the attitudes to equal rights and protections between people who know somebody and people who don't.
Well, that was Angus Carroll, the co-author of the ILGA report into sexual
and gender identity. Global Attitudes Survey Global on Attitudes. Sexual, Gender and Sex Minorities.
Now, that was quite positive, actually, about the 73% people, if they knew somebody, that yep. they thought it was more acceptable.
Yeah, so maybe we do need to be out there talking more, even those people in countries who it is quite dangerous.
Yeah, it's where even waving a flag can mean a death sentence or life sentence.
Yeah, maybe you need to talk to friends more and help them understand. But then I guess that's the point. We have friends who understand who we are and how we are.
But then, as we mentioned earlier, talking about sexuality isn't always that easy.
No. I was quite surprised. It was only 73%. I actually think it was higher. And the number of people who think it could potentially be okay to...
discriminate.
Yeah, discriminate in the workplace was quite surprising as well. But, you know, the numbers are going up, and if ILGA keeps doing these surveys every year, I think this will be a really powerful way.
It'd be interesting to see the trend after we've had these surveys for a few years, to see how it's changed, whether Australia's managed to catch up with the rest of the world.
Yeah, and it must supply quite a lot of fact fire when certain countries want to enact certain laws, which obviously every country has the right to enact their own laws. But he was talking about at the UN, you know, certain countries say we're going to criminalise or this is our stance because this is what our people say. Well, now they've got
a powerful rhetoric to say, well, actually,
in an anonymous survey, that's
yeah,
not
well,
what
and that's
say.
More truthful, right? Because you can be up on your soapbox and say, you know, these are our values, this is what we stand for. And you speak for a lot of people, but when you have this wonderful survey, which, you know, gets the real sentiment on the ground of what individuals actually think, it's not what is being purported.
This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now. Saturday Magazine on Joy.
There was no warning about this.
Your Saturday morning wake-up call.
Well, I prefer you not to ask, to be honest.
Hosted by David Macca-McCarthy, SatMag is 2 hours of world news and queer culture. Joy's longest-running news and current affairs program.
I don't remember that.
No, you're probably straight then.
SatMag on Joy, 10 a.m. till noon and available via podcast at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
What do you reckon, Tess?
Oh, look, I feel exhausted.
Sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Hi, I'm Warren.
And I'm Anastasia.
If you haven't heard, we're now Mondays, Thursdays and Fridays for breakfast on Joy.
You've started meditation, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been going every Tuesday night. We had one meditation this week where you had to focus at something on the wall. So I focused at this spot on the wall and then it started moving and it was a,
the spot
it was a fly.
Oh, that's a sparkle.
And I got the giggles over that. Anastasia and Warren, Mondays, Thursdays and Fridays for breakfast on Joy.
And now available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform.
Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hi, this is Andre Duplessis from the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, speaking from Geneva on the World Wide Wave.
Well, we'd like to start by thanking Angus Carroll, the co-author of the ILGA WeWe Global Attitude Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sex Minorities. Now, you can actually get more information on this, actually a copy of the survey from, a copy of the report, I should say, from the ILGA website. So that's www.ilga.org.
How often does this survey come out? Or is this an annual or biannual?
This is the second one, so yep. I think it's annual.
Annual, but yeah, it started in 2016, and I'm just amazed. You know, I'm really, I'm so grateful that there is someone that's actually going out there and getting this data, because like Angus says, until you've got the data, then you ain't got nothing. Show me the data. And hopefully this becomes a bit of a catalyst in perhaps moving forward with the way that gender and sexual diversity is dealt with right across the globe.
And there is so much more in this report, so definitely go and download it if you want, and we'll be bringing you more from Angus about the results in the coming weeks.
We would also like to thank everyone that's interacted with us.
Including Matilda from South
especially
Melbourne.
Especially Matilda.
I love that message.
Sent us a message.
Brilliant.
But also people that interacted with us on Facebook. Now, if you don't know, we are W3 Joy on Facebook.
And thank you to our podcaster, Alex. And you can always go to the World Wide Wave link at Joy FM to find our podcasts.
And also Gordon on the front desk, who's always there ready to take your calls.
And now stay with us, because coming up we have Urban Dreaming, where stories of resilience, survival and connecting with culture and spirituality.
And followed by Triple Bypass with Anthony, Christina and the lovely Ruby, improving bi-visibility.
Yeah, I love this show. And at 10 p.m. we have Jam Sessions, live music show with queer artists. I wonder who's on tonight.
You'll have to listen to find out. Followed by 11 with Been There, Done That with Chris, Gordon and Phil. That's Grey Power and Gay History.
How old do you have to be to host Been There, Done That?
Well, I think if you've got grey, then as long as you've got some grey, then you're eligible.
So right? That's all of us.
I certainly qualify beard and hair. And then at midnight, we have Magic Portal, punk, rock, experimental and indie music. We have a focus on local underground and queer artists. So we've got you covered all the way through, and then it starts all over again.
This has been another episode of World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We are a sea of colors, lighting up the sky on your darkest night. We are a sea of lovers, with hopeful eyes that shine so bright. Pushing out against the tide, a sea of change, our love will reign. Stand strong with open hearts, you got nothing to hide, just keep your pride. Let's go back to the start, to our innocent hearts. Take me back to the start, to our innocent hearts. Innocent hearts. Don't you give up, our love is love.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.